Okay, I'm not going to talk about the National Health Service, although I would love to, but it's not the topic. I want to compliment in both senses the two speakers ahead of me, because they both described how it is and how what the reality is that we face in trying to achieve healthcare access for the American people. I want to approach it a slightly different way, which I think will add to the conversation by providing kind of a different slant on it. And I, like everybody, has no financial interest, but I do have an advocacy interest, which I always state to my students without any particular kickback. Okay, this is why healthcare was on the agenda in the 2008 period, not out of a great concern about people being uninsured, but because of the extraordinary rise in cost in the decade of the 2000s. Nevertheless, the best estimates we have from both the government, the CMS, and from, in this case, the Commonwealth Fund, which is a big booster of the Affordable Care Act, is that, in fact, the Affordable Care Act as passed won't do anything significant about the cost of health care. It will reduce, to some extent, the number of people who are formally uninsured. Who will be formally insured, but in fact probably will have great difficulty actually accessing health care, as we've heard from, particularly from Jonathan. This is a graph that's familiar to all of us. This is a slightly older version of it, but the data continues to look just this way. We are the world outlier in cost, both in absolute cost and in the rate of change of cost. And it poses the question, and this is the question I want to address and then answer and then connect it to the ACA. What's the explanation of that? Why are we so different from the rest of the world? What is there about our healthcare system and our economy that makes us so different from the rest of the capitalist world? Now, mainstream economics tries to answer this. A lot of well-known economists have approached it. And they say, well, we use more technology. It's the rising cost of technology in healthcare. That's false, because everybody else is using the same technology, and some use more of it. I just spent 2 weeks in Japan, and their use of medical technology is extraordinary. They also have it a lot cheaper. It's $95 for a CAT scan, and they seem to love to get CAT scans. The claim is we have too many doctors. Well, of course, we don't. We don't have more per person than other people. We don't use them more than other people. The claim is insurance, or as the economists term it, moral hazard. That is, people use health care because they can and the insurance will pay the cost. Well, I'll come back to this a little later, but in much of the rest of the world, health care is free. There is no first dollar cost or first pound cost or first euro cost, and yet their costs are lower than ours. So this is clearly not the answer. Unions are blamed. Unions having more generous benefit plans than the rest of us. But of course, the rest of the world, or at least the part of the world that was shown in that graph a couple of minutes ago, is more heavily unionized than we are. So that's not an explanation. And finally, the assertion is that, well, it's because our prices are high, which I find truly amazing. I mean, here's this classic paper on it. From 2005, I mean, Uwe Reinhardt's a very smart man, and Gerald Anderson at Johns Hopkins, very smart, and yet they post a tautology that we spend more because we have higher prices. We have higher prices, that's why we're spending more. That doesn't explain it at all. It's just another way of saying the same thing. There might be something there if our utilization was different, but it's not. Our utilization is, if anything, less than the rest of the world. So the mainstream economics doesn't have an explanation. Part of the reason that they don't have an explanation, they really don't look at the rest of the world and ask, what can we learn from the rest of the world? They're as chauvinistic as, I'm afraid, most Americans. They think that we don't have anything to learn by looking at the rest of the world. I'm taking it for granted that the people in this room have a different view and think we can learn something by seeing what goes on around us. So let me look at the second explanation, and that's one that's common among many of us, and that I adopted for years until I thought it through more. And that is that the reason for that difference is the waste in the private insurance system, that the 15 to 20% of costs that are incurred in the healthcare system that goes through the private insurance because of our complex, extraordinary, infuriating billing system. But it can't explain the fact that we spend twice as much as everybody else. It can explain a part of it, but it can't explain all of it. Here's the basis of the explanation. We rely more on private insurance than the rest of the world. They all have some. The Canadians have some to cover things like dental and elective medical care, elective surgery that the insurance, the single payer plan doesn't cover. But we do have more private insurance and rely on it more than everybody else. And there's the wonderful study that Jim Kahn did in California that actually tried to quantify what is the effect of insurance. And it's for that share of our costs that go through private insurance, which is about half of our costs, the waste is about 28%, according to his study. But as I say, that doesn't explain the difference, because the difference is much greater than can be accounted for just by the waste in the insurance system. So what is the explanation? Well, there is one, and it's pretty straightforward. It is that we operate healthcare as if it's a market. We let providers, both doctors and hospitals, set their own prices. Now, you might say, well, isn't everybody? No. Nobody else in this world allows the provider, in the major industrial countries, allows the fees in healthcare and the spending on healthcare to roam free as the providers choose. Every other country, no matter what kind of system they have, whether it's a single payer system or a sickness fund kind of system as Germany has, or a comparable system that Japan or France have, they're all the prices are all regulated or administered. The government regulates drug prices, too. We're the only country that allows drug prices to be set by the manufacturers rather than by government standards and negotiation. Why do other countries do it? I think it's for historical reasons. Government has a much greater role in many of these countries historically. They grew out of feudalism, and so they have less government now than they had once upon a time. So it may be for historic reasons, but American economists have known for at least 50 years that healthcare is not a market. This is the classic paper. And what it basically says is it's not a market because the consumer, the patient is not a consumer. The patient cannot behave like a consumer. The patient doesn't have the information because the doctor, the physician, and is a professional who spent many years learning the subject, and the patient doesn't know it. Also, that the patient isn't in a position to go around and bargain because he's sick and needs care. He can't shop around, he or she. But also because of the nature of healthcare and illness. That is, when you start with some kind of an ailment, you don't know where it's going to go and what kind of treatment is going to be needed and what the progression of the illness is going to be. So there's huge uncertainty. I think that's why our focused on uncertainty, although the paper focuses on other things too. The bottom line is that you're in healthcare, you have the supplier with no counterbalancing from demand. The patients cannot act as smart consumers who provide a counterforce to the providers. And so if you allow prices to be set by the providers, there's nobody to go against it unless government comes in. Now, government does come in. The United States has a system in which there are administered prices. The Medicare system sets the fees that it's willing to pay, and the consequence is that Medicare costs have risen more slowly than the costs when they're paid for by private insurance. Now, they're constrained because they can't be too low or doctors won't take Medicare. And in Manhattan, where I live, there are a lot of doctors that don't take Medicare because there are enough people in Manhattan who can afford to pay for at least outpatient care without insurance. But the rest of the world administers prices, and we don't. And that, I assert, is why we are the outlier, why our prices are twice as high. Now, what's that got to do with single payer? Well, a single payer is Medicare for all. We never talk about it that way, and I think I understand why, because we're trying to talk to doctors. But the reality is that what a Medicare for all system will do will administer prices, and it's right there in the fine print in the descriptions, but we don't focus on it. Let me shift from that for a minute to the ACA. How does this relate to ACA marketization? Well, the people who promote the ACA say, look, the whole goal was to try to control costs. How are we going to do it? Well, we're going to do it by trying to make the patients into consumers. And the way we're going to do that, there's a lot of talk about price transparency, but not much has happened on that side. But we're going to put more of the load of the cost on the patient. And this is from the exchange, the marketplace in New York City, in Manhattan. This is a bronze plan, $3,000 deductible for individuals, no out-of-network care, no out-of-network coverage, and 50% copays. They're trying to make the consumer into the patient into a consumer by forcing him to have more skin in the game, as the lingo goes. It won't work. I mean, Kenneth Arrow is right, and anybody who's a physician knows that the patient is not in a position to handle, as they say, to negotiate over the price or over which physician they're going to see. Further, the U.S. already has the highest cost sharing in the world, roughly twice what the median is, you can see there. And yet our prices are so high. The cost sharing does not work to contain costs. And here's a demonstration of it from a little paper that a student of mine and I are going to try to get published. We basically took the OECD countries other than the United States and looked at what their cost-sharing provisions are. About 40% of them have no cost-sharing. So we looked at the share of the GDP for those that have cost-sharing and those that don't. It makes no difference. Cost-sharing, it does not contain costs overall. You can't make the patient into a consumer, and if you could, it wouldn't work. This is the evidence. What it does do, of course, is shift the cost from insurance companies to patients or from the employers to patients. And that, of course, for those various businesses is good for them, but it's not good for the patients, and it doesn't do anything for the healthcare system. What's our answer? This is another version of the single-payer slideshow. I emphasize, though, these parts of it, and these are parts we don't talk about very much for a variety of reasons. We talk about how everybody would be covered and would get free choice of provider, but an important part of our concept of single-payer is no cost-sharing. That is, no financial barrier to getting care, no price negotiation between patients and doctors. The doctor is a service provider, and the patient needs service. It's not a businessman. So there's no cost sharing, and the public agency sets the reimbursement through negotiation with providers. That's actually explicit in the newest physician proposal that is now being circulated around. If you look at the rest of the world, that's the way it's done. There's negotiation between the medical associations and the hospital associations. So that's the way it would work under the national Conyers bill, and in New York State, we have a state-level bill that provides the same thing. But the key that I'm pointing out here is that this is the way you control costs. This is what you learn when you look around the world. That's the way costs are controlled, by having prices set by a fee schedule. I was in Japan, and they're very explicit about it. Every 2 years, there's a book that comes out in which the fees are listed, and it's uniform across the country. I'm not sure that would work here, but if you want to see an example of it, that's the place to look. So, thank you.